ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 23 टेक्स्ट नंबर 11 श्री शुक उवाच अज्ञां पतो राजन् परादो बलिना सह वादं इत्यमलप्रज्ञ मूर्ध्न्य आधाय कृतांजलि. द वर्स कंटिन्यूस. परिक्रम्यादि पुरुषं सर्वासुर चमूपति प्रणतस्तद अनुजनाथ प्रविवेश महाबिलम. द ट्रांसलेशन इज लाइक दिस. श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड accompanied बाय बलि महाराज माय डियर किंग परीक्षित प्रहलाद महाराज द मास्टर ऑफ ऑल चीफ्स ऑफ द डीमंस टुक द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड्स ऑर्डर ऑन हिज हेड with folded hands. After saying yes to the Lord, circumambulating him and offering him respectful obeisances, he entered the lower planetary system known as Sutala. There is no purport, so we go to text number 13. Athahoshana samrajan harir narayanontike asinam ritvijam madhe sadasi brahmavadinam. Hari, the supreme personality of Godhead, Narayan, thereafter addressed Shukracharya, who was sitting nearby in the midst of the assembly with the priests, Brahma, Hota, Udgata and Advaryu. O Maharaj Parikshit, these priests are all brahmavadis, followers of the Vedic principles for performing sacrifices. No purport. Text number 14. Brahman santanu shishyasya karma chidram vitanvataha yattat karma su vaishamyam brahma drishtam samam bhave. Translation. O best of the brahmanas, Shukracharya, please describe the fault or discrepancy in your disciple Bali Maharaj, who engage in performing sacrifices. This fault will be nullified when judged in the presence of the qualified brahmanas. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When Bali Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj had departed for the planet Sutala, Lord Vishnu asked Shukracharya what the fault was in Bali Maharaj for which Shukracharya had cursed him. It might be argued that since Bali Maharaj had now left the scene, how could its faults be judged? In reply to this, Lord Vishnu informed Shukracharya that there was no need for Bali Maharaj's presence, for his faults and discrepancies could be nullified if judged before the Brahmanas. As will be seen in the next verse, Bali Maharaj had no faults. Shukracharya had unnecessarily cursed him. Nonetheless, this was better for Bali Maharaj. Being cursed by Shukracharya, Bali Maharaj was deprived of all his possessions, with the result that the Supreme Personality of God had favored him for his strong faith in devotional service. Of course, a devotee is not required to engage in fruitive activities. As stated in the Shastra, Sarvaharanam Achyuteja, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 31, Text Number 14. By worshipping Achyutya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one satisfies everyone. Because Bali Maharaj had satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there were no discrepancies in his performance of sacrifices. Hare Krishna. So, we can all visualize that scene where Bali Maharaj was trying to perform the sacrifice and Vamande appears over there at that arena, sacrificial arena, And no one knew at that time what's going to happen. Bali Maharaj was to become the master of the entire universe by performing the sacrifice after end of the sacrifice. And here is this supreme personality in the form of a dwarf coming and approaching that place. And Bali Maharaj is inspired to offer this so-called Brahmana whatever he wanted. And what did Vamandev ask? He asked for only 3 steps of land. Being a dwarf and asking only for 3 steps amused Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj said, I thought that you are only short in stature, but then now I know that even you are very less in your intelligence also. You are asking only for 3 steps of land. You can ask from me anything you want. And then Vamandev tells him that how, when whatever one has, one has to be satisfied. If one is not satisfied with what he has, he cannot be satisfied with anything he acquires in this material world. Shukracharya knew that this person who is come in the form of a Brahmana is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamandev. And he is going to take away everything from Bali Maharaj. He knew that. So Shukracharya warned Bali Maharaj that please don't give him charity. Because if you give him, you'll lose everything what you have. Bali Maharaj contemplated on this. The Shastra explains that he was thinking over this for some time. And then he made his decision that if I have to lose, let me lose by giving it to the Lord. And Prabhupada gives a very nice purport to that particular verse. That when you lose everything in this material world by your own desire, then nobody will glorify you. But then if you give for the purpose of satisfaction of the Lord and his devotees, then the whole world will glorify you for the rest of eternity. And this is a fact. Even in the mundane world, we see that if you have wealth, and if that wealth you use it for your own sake, and you while away your wealth, everyone will criticize you. But that portion of the wealth also, if you just use it for helping someone, that person will really glorify you, bestow his blessings for the rest of his life. What to speak of if someone gives all his possession to the Lord for his satisfaction. So how much the Lord will be grateful. So Bali Maharaj contemplated on this particular point, and then Bali Maharaj, what did he do? He just decided to go against the order of his spiritual master, Shukracharya. And he decided to give that charity. Shukracharya, seeing this, he cursed Bali Maharaj that he'll be bereft of all his possession. And of course, we find that within a next moment, when he decided to give that in charity, Vamandev, with his 2 steps, he covered the entire planetary system. In other words, Bali Maharaj was bereft of all his possession in the next moment. Really humiliating, insulting, because it was done in the front of all his citizens, his own spiritual master. We just can't imagine what situation would that be if this was in our life. We may consider ourselves a master of maybe one land or one place. And supposing we have about 3-4 places, and we might have planned the whole life that, oh yeah, now I am comfortable, happy in this material world. And then all of a sudden you just see that you are bereft of everything and nothing is there with you. Zero on the road. There's nothing but you can commit suicide. You know, when people lose the next moment everything, forget everything, even if they lose about half of what they have also, they will just go mad. Now here is Bali Maharaj. In 1 minute's time, Vamandev, means that dwarf, he showed his real form, he expanded himself, and with 2 steps he covered the entire planet system. And then he told Bali Maharaj that, tell me now, where do I put the third one? And then Bali Maharaj said, then you put it on my head. He said, because you're not able to fulfill your vow, you have to go to hell. And then he's been bound by the rope. And then he's been sent to the planet Sutala. But here, something different is viewed or observed, that the Lord binds Bali Maharaj, but at the same time he glorifies him. He sends him to the hellish planet called Sutala, but then that Sutala Loka is the Loka which is none other, naughty, different from any other heavenly planet. Not only that, he sends Prahlad Maharaj over there. Prahlad Maharaj is his grandfather, Bali Maharaj's grandfather. And not only that, Vamandev, the Supreme Personal God, agrees to be there as a doorkeeper in that planet. The situation is like this here now, that Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj, they leave the place. And now the Lord is confronting Shukracharya and is asking this very pertinent question. Ki, my dear Shukracharya, you please tell me, what was the fault in your disciple away, Bali Maharaj? Tell me, what is your fault? He was engaged in performing sacrifices. So Prabhupada gives a very nice purport. He explains many things. But one thing here is mentioning that by worshipping Achyuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one satisfies everyone. Prabhupada mentions in many places that whenever a devotee surrenders his life to the Lord, then what happens is that the Lord takes charge of his life. And then whatever the devotee does is not considered as a fault. Now here we see that Bali Maharaj did everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. Externally it appeared like a big discrepancy, that he disobeyed the order of his spiritual master, Shukracharya. But the reason why he did that was because he wanted to please the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of the Lord, of Godhead. We find that the nature of this material world is to always, you know, find some faults. When a person comes very close to another, initially you may find something very good. You find all the good qualities. But the nature is such that however well, however pious a person may be, he always would like to see something which is not good. He always would like to find out some fault, some discrepancy in that person. Whether maybe gross or maybe subtle or maybe in his behavior, in his character. That's always the nature of a person. Here it's mentioned that how, I would like to speak about this a little later, but I just want to highlight a little bit on this particular aspect, that whatever happens in a devotee's life happens for the good. There is one nice story. We all know about this, but we'll just like to speak about it. That there was one king who had a minister who was a God-fearing person and who always accepted the fact that whatever happens in life is for the better. He always would consider it Lord's mercy. But there was another person in his kingdom, another minister was very envious of him also. Whatever happened, of course, whenever happened, whatever would happen with the king, when he would disclose this to this God-fearing minister, he would always say, it's Lord's mercy. It's by Lord's mercy that's everything happening. So one day, it so happened that the king was going into the forest. and then he somehow or the other was caught by the local tribes, and they wanted to use this king as a for a sacrifice. But somehow or the other, no, that's other way. This I'm just want to go a little behind. One day the king cut his finger, and then the minister saw this and he said, "You know, it's maybe Lord's mercy, what you're having." So the king became so angry that the king put the minister behind prison. And in the next moment, sometime later on, the king went with another minister who was envious into the forest. And then there was this tribe who caught hold of him. And then he was supposed to be used as a sacrifice for the goddess. But then they found that he was not complete because his hand was, finger was cut. So he was released. But then the other minister who was accompanying him was being used for as a sacrifice. So when the king went back home, he realized what that minister was saying. That because I cut my finger some days back, that's how I was, my life was saved. So he released the minister and he asked him, begged him forgiveness, and then he said, "Why you tell me, yes, you are right, that this was Lord's mercy, because if this had not happened, then probably I would have lost my life today. But you please tell me, how is my putting you in prison is also Lord's mercy?" So the minister told him, "My dear king, if I was not being behind prison, then what you had done is I would have accompanied you, and in your place I would have been killed. So this was also Lord's mercy." So you find that anything that happens in the life of a devotee is always for the good, which happens. We see in the life of Bali Maharaj here, he decided to give this possession, everything to the Lord, and Prabhupada mentions that he was being given the highest gift, the gift of devotion service. Prabhupada here mentions that in the purport. The Supreme Personality of God had favored him for his strong faith in devotion service. Because he had that faith, he favored him. He got this, and not only that, he also became a doorkeeper. So in spite of the fact that he lost material possession, he actually got whatever he was supposed to get by the mercy of the Lord. We also know that by worshipping Achyuta, Supreme Personality of Godhead, one satisfies everyone. All of us know the story of Durvas Muni. Like how Durvas Muni, see, in the life of Pandavas also the same thing. You know, they never complained about it. There's not a single moment in the life when they had some problems in their. All throughout they had some or the other miseries. And to add on to it, when they were in the forest, Durvas Muni approached with 60,000 disciples on the insistence of Duryodhan. And they reached at a time when Draupadi had already finished. We all know the story how Draupadi had that Akshaya Patra, that particular pot which would produce unlimited amount of food for any number of people. But once she finishes, then nobody can have it. So that's the time when Durvas Muni reached. So it was a very precarious situation for the Pandavas, because they knew how Durvas Muni would be. If Durvas Muni would become angry, then he would curse. But then it so happened that they remembered, they asked Durvas Muni and the 6,000 to just go to the river and have bath and come back. But then during that time, they all remembered the Lord. And when the Lord came, the Lord said, "I was hungry." Krishna said, "I am also, please give me something." So Draupadi said, "Why are you making fun of me? I already finished. You know that I have nothing." He says, "Please show me that pot. Let me see. Show me that patra." And there was some little bit of leaf there. And the Lord ate that. And he belched. He said, "I'm so full." And then he said, "You please call the 60,000 disciples and along with Durvas Muni." He told especially Bhima to go. Meanwhile, what happened? Durvas Muni and all the 60,000 felt that as if their stomach was full. And they were wondering that how can we go back again there? if you go probably and if you don't honor Prasad properly, then they will feel very upset, especially Yudhishthira Maharaj. And if they feel upset, then it will be not good on our part. And meanwhile, Bhima was wondering why the Lord has mentioned like this, that you go and fetch. Because he was thinking, how is it possible that we can even satisfy them? So nobody knew anything about it. Bhima did not know what's happening. And Durvas Muni is seeing that Bhima is coming from far off, and Bhima is calling them all, please come on the order of the Lord. And then Durvas Muni, all the 60,000 disciples, they run away. And the purport is that how when Lord is satisfied, then, you know, everyone is satisfied. So this is what Prabhupada here is trying to mention, that because Bali Maharaj had satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there were no discrepancies in his performances or sacrifices. So what apparently was considered as a discrepancy by the law, by Shukracharya and others, was not at all a discrepancy. Why? Because he did that act for pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we find that even in, you know, the life of Arjun, in Mahabharata, Arjun was directly confronted with fighting with Karna. And Karna was unarmed, his chariot was stuck in the ground, and Krishna said, just shoot. Now Arjun, from the material point of view, it was a big fault. He should not have done that. He knew that for the rest of eternity, history will just criticize him for doing that. Because a Kshatriya is not supposed to kill someone who is not having a weapon. But Arjun here was asked by the Lord to kill, shoot him with the arrows. And then Arjun did that. Arjun did that to Karna. And we find that, you know, so many people criticize that act of Arjun, that Arjun killed that on the insistence of Krishna. But one, when understands the circumstance in which Krishna instigated Arjun to kill, then one would not consider that to be really a fault. Bhishma, we find that how he was misunderstood. Bhishma was a great devotee of the Lord. And on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he actually took the side of the Kauravas. And he was fighting against the Pandavas. So Bhishma Dev apparently was a great devotee of the Lord, but apparently he just was fighting on the side of the Kauravas. And everyone would say that yes, because he was obliged to the Kauravas, that's why he fought on the side of the Pandavas. But the Acharyas give us the understanding that what Bhishma wanted to show the whole world, that if you are on the side of Adharma, then whoever, however great you may be defeated. That was the thing which was, lesson which was given to us. But from the internal reason is that Bhishma, the Lord, wanted to fight on the other side and say, inform that, you know, show that, and show the Bhishma's glories. Now, talking about the faults, as I was mentioning, that each one of us have faults, and we have the tendency to find faults in others. As I was mentioning that, whether gross or subtle, out of our own ego, we sometimes, you know, try to find some discrepancies. Haridas Thakur, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when we see that when he was invited by Hiranya and Majumdar and Govardhan Majumdar, and when Haridas Thakur was speaking of the glories of Lord Chaitanya, on the holy name, Gopal Chakravarti, he blasphemed Haridas Thakur for mentioning about the glories. When Haridas Thakur mentioned that holy name is so glorious that even someone who just even, you know, has a little bit abhas of the holy name, he says he will be relieved of all the sins that he has committed. And when he hears this, Gopal Chakravarti blasphemes Haridas Thakur. And what happens is that he just gets contracts leprosy. Because of that fault, because of the fault he found in Haridas Thakur and by committing that offense, we find how Daksha Prajapati, he actually, you know, invited all the demigods, including Lord Shiva. But because Lord Shiva did not offer obeisances or did not get up when he arrived in that arena, what happened is that Lord Shiva was rebuked by Daksha Prajapati. Daksha Prajapati insulted in front of all the assembled people. Of course, he had to get a reaction because of that. That, you know, his head was to be cut and he got a head of a goat. Prabhupada mentions that finding faults can be detrimental to the devotee's progress in spiritual life. And he says, if someone serves the Lord and his devotees, he is to be worshipped and he is to be glorified. He should be worshipped and he should be glorified. Now, we have this fault-finding tendency and we also, in the association devotees also, use this fault-finding tendencies to judge a particular Vaishnava. Maybe from his appearance or from his behavior. Gauranga Prabhu, many times in his lectures, he mentions, very wonderful analogy he gives, that how the temple is like a hospital. And in hospital, we find there are so many types of patients who come. Somebody may be having tuberculosis, somebody may have a minor cough and cold. Somebody may have a very, very deep disease. So different persons may behave differently at different times. But what really is to be understood is that that person is taking at least that one step of taking the treatment, coming to the hospital and taking the treatment. So if somebody comes and even if he chants the holy names, he has understood that he should chant the holy name, he takes shelter of the holy name, that person is to be glorified and not that his faults is to be looked at. So once it so happened, this was in the initial years of our being in the movement, and we were in one yatra in Vrindavan, and in the initial, as would be with everyone, we would be just, you know, glorifying all the devotees. We see all the good qualities on the devotees. But when we went for the yatra, and then that was the first yatra of ours, and it so happened that there was some behavior of some devotees which were not acceptable for us, myself and my wife. We could not accept that. Okay, why a person is behaving like that? Because we would think that all devotees act like that. They should act, you know, as per the Shastra or the way we want them to behave. So we saw that, you know, some of the devotees are not responding to us properly, and many things were happening, and we were very disturbed with the whole thing. So both of us, then we approached His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, and then the first 5 minutes we just started mentioning all the faults, that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, it happened like this, this happened, this happened, this happened, everything happened, this. So he did not say anything. He was just listening to us for the first 5 minutes. And after those 5 minutes, then he spoke to us for the next half an hour about the glories of those devotees whom we were finding faults. So much he spoke, he never even touched on those points which we presented in front of him. He just went on glorifying for half an hour the wonderful, glorious attributes of those devotees, the wonderful sacrifices those devotees have done, the wonderful service attitude of those services that devotees have performed. After half an hour, we were thinking, were we right in presenting this? We were feeling so guilty about it. And we are wondering, why did we mention this to him about the whole thing? And then he made one final statement. He said, once in my life, when I was small, I judged someone, and when I judged, it was wrong. I judged that person wrong. He says, from that time onwards, I have never judged anyone in my life. When he made the statement, it was a very, very deep and profound statement. He said, I never judge a person. I have never judged a person in my whole life. And that was it. The matter, the conversation ended. When we came out of the room, we realized that how much offense that we have committed. And we actually begged forgiveness from those devotees who had done that. So judge not that lest be judged. That's the thing. That we may, commit some, we may find some faults, but we may not know the situation behind it, why the person is doing or acting like that. So unless and until we really do not know that, when we make a statement or when we observe or make a impression or create an impression of the person, we may land up in committing a very, very grave offense. So time is the best healer. You know, it was mentioned that the time will just reveal whatever you have seen. Just like here we find that Shukracharya, he could not understand why this is all happening. And he was thinking that it's just a discrepancy. My disciple has disobeyed my order and I'm supposed to curse him. Instant reaction, he got cursed. But then, later on we find that when this Lord is, asking Shukracharya, we see the coming verses, how Shukracharya accepts that fact that no, it was not that Bali Maharaj was at fault. Because he has taken shelter of you, he has done that act for pleasing you, how can that be a fault? It's not a fault. Even Shukracharya accepts that fault. Accepts that as a sin. So many times it may happen like that. That we may do some act and then it may be misunderstood, or someone else may do the act and may be misunderstood. That's the reason why we say that when you judge yourself by your intentions. When you judge others, we judge others by their actions. Right, but actually what should be done? We should judge ourselves by our actions and we should judge others by their intentions. So we should not go by what they do, but then we should understand maybe there is some reason why the person is doing. As far as ourselves is concerned, we should not consider though they are not understanding my intentions. We should understand that we should be quite conscious about our actions, lest that should not create a confusion to others. So we find that, ultimately, when we try to find faults, we may be landing in trouble. Here, one point which I would like to recollect and also try to speak about is that, this is what His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj once mentioned, heard from my senior god brother, that Vaishnavism means following the instructions and not whether something is right or wrong. Like, as we see in the case of Arjun, Arjun did that, he did not see whether it's right or wrong. He just followed what Krishna told him and he did it. Similarly, at one place there was some problem, and then the person who was in fight with other devotee, this person, the first person was right, the other person was wrong. But then it so happened that he was made to do what the other person wanted, which he did not want to do it. And he was arguing on the fact that, no, I am right. So when the matter reached to the leader said, just forget about it. Do what your authorities say. It's not a question of whether it's right or wrong. Vaishnavism means what is told, you do it. Just to please the authorities, please your superiors. In other words, pleasing the Lord. So when we understand this, we realize that we can definitely be much more mature enough to avoid finding faults. And just to summarize, the few things I was thinking of contemplating, that whenever we see some faults in others, you know, we should always forget, forgive and forget. Supposing someone has committed something against us or against something, you just forgive the person and forget. Yeah? Just like they say, God gives and forgives and person forget, you know, we say like that. But here we should find it that in our own life, we should see that when you see faults, or somebody has committed something against you, just forget about the whole thing. Forgive the person also. Second thing is that try to accommodate that person. In the sense, try to see what the person may have undergone, or, you know, situations which the person may really be into it. And try to be a broad-minded person just to accommodate him according to the situation around. Third thing is try to understand the circumstances in which the person is in before making a real decision or making a comment or concluding about that person. See that sometimes it may be a Lord's intervention in our life to teach a particular lesson for us. You know, you see something, then you know that, yeah, maybe the Lord is wanting to teach me something. If you know that, then, you know, probably you will not react immediately. Huh? Like, Lord's intervention sometimes can be there. And we cannot neglect that Lord's intervention in our life. And finally, transcend the whole situation. Like, when you taken shelter of the Lord, we just understand that, well, we need to transcend this. Understand that, well, this is for your own purification. Like once one devotee approached His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and he said, there is this problem and I cannot solve this problem and people are misunderstanding me for all this. And even though I like to, I offered an explanation, but still the person still misunderstands me. So what do we do? So the answer was given that, well, if you have an opportunity to just speak about it, then you can always do that. But then if you're not, then understand that it is for your own purification. So sometimes we find that somebody is behaving with you in a different way, which you are not expected. Then just accept that it is Lord's intervention in your life. Transcend that situation, praying for the Lord's mercy and begging for the Lord to give you the right intelligence and act accordingly, you know. So this is an acronym for FAULT, fault, you know, like forgive, try to accommodate and understand that circumstances, understand Lord's intervention and transcend the whole situation. So in the subsequent verses here, we'll find that how, in spite of all this, Shukracharya understands finally that it is not that the Lord has it, Bali Maharaj is in fault, but basically because he has taken shelter of the Lord and he has engaged in his devotion, has completely dedicated his life for pleasing and satisfying the Lord. That's why there is no discrepancy. So this is what I wanted to share with all of you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.